This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'een. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. Wahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My brothers and sisters, my topic for you is really to figure out in ways, methods, and avenues of how to create a beautiful and a harmonious environment in the home. I'd like to start off by saying to all of you, that's not going to happen. Great job, Basley. It's not going to happen. If you have problems in your home, then you're not alone. You were never alone. Because if you look at your Islamic history, you'll find that there were prophets and messengers that also had problems in their home. If you have children that are out of control, then the first thing that should come to your mind is the story of Surah Yusuf and what the brothers did to him. If you have problems with your husband, then you think about Asiya radiallahu anha and her husband and what he did. If you have problems with your wife, then you start to think about Ayyub alayhi salam and his wife, Lut alayhi salam and his wife. And if you generally have a little bit of this and a little bit of that, then you always think of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Problems in a home, Allah Azza wa Jal said, it's going to be there. You can't do anything about it. It's going to come. That's why in Quran, twice Allah told you, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Allah tells you in Quran, have knowledge and understanding that in your wealth and in your children, Allah says, your children are fitna. That's a real powerful word to use. They are a trial for you. It's not going to be easy to care for them. Now the kids, I'm going to come to you a little bit later. But for now, I'd like to start off, inshallah, with raising a few concerns that based on my own experience, based on my knowledge and understanding, what I think are some of the problematic areas that's caused our homes to lose that stability, to lose that harmony and that comfort that we so desire. And wallahi, today, when you consider the explosion of information, when you consider what children are exposed to, when you consider this gap that's getting bigger and bigger between family, parents, and their children, you have to start to wonder, it's not about their deen anymore. There's something even deeper, more complicated that's causing these children to be the way they are, or it's causing parents to not understand what parenting really is. So I want to start off, inshallah, and raise my first concern with you. And we're going to speak to all of the mothers and fathers here. So children, I'm going to take care of you later, inshallah. But for now, Allah Azza wa Jal started with the parents, so I'm going to start with the parents as well. The first point that I believe is creating this instability in our families today, in this day and age, it has to be that we don't understand our culture anymore. When I say culture, I'm not talking to you about the culture of where you came from. If you came from Pakistan or India or Somalia or the West Indies or wherever that is, I'm not talking about that culture. I'm talking about the culture that you're currently in and breathing and living at this moment. You see, the reason why this is such a huge problem is the first thing, culture is permissible and halal always. Unless if one thing happens. if that culture starts to break the rules and guidelines of your religion. That's when you say stop. So if your child comes up to you and says, Mom, I want Nutella for dinner. And you're making whatever nice potatoes and chicken and stews and all that sort of thing. And your child's like, no, I want ice cream for dinner. What you have to understand now, you don't encourage them to be like, okay, Brother Muslim, I said I got to understand your culture. Bismillah. What I'm trying to say to you is, this mindset and this mind frame that they have, their process of thinking is not healthy anymore. Why? Because the culture around them, every single corner you travel, wherever you go in this society, you're going to see a fast food joint. If you don't see it there, they're being fed with it at school. Everywhere you go, they've been plugged with this mentality that this is who they are. So the culture, now remember I said to understand the culture, not necessarily agree with it. Just understand why your child is thinking this way. If your child can't see the beauty of their deen and can't see or appreciate the knowledge that you're trying to give them, you as a parent, every single day, you keep pounding on your child. You keep telling them, come and pray, wake up for Fajr, wear your hijab, dress properly, do this, do that. And your child is just like, yes, inshallah, yeah, whatever. And they don't change. The culture plays a huge role in this. A huge problem in this. Now, how do you deal with this problem? فَعَرَفْنَا الدَّاء. We understand the problem. فَمَا هُوَ الدَّوَاء. So how do you fix it? The first thing, we as parents, after we understand what our children, what they're thinking, what they're breathing, how they look and how they dress, why they're doing all of these things, this is the time to start attacking the problems. This is the time that if you see her jeans are a little too tight, you know what you do? You tell your child, go upstairs right then and there, and you tell her to change. And if she doesn't want to change, you know what you do next? You grab a scissors, .. You know what to do with those pants, right? Take control of your home. And this is especially important for the fathers. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Allah Azza wa Jal made you imams in your home. You're the imam of your house. Your jama'ah and your congregation is your children and your family. You as the father are in charge to make sure that if you see one of your children, if you see your wife slip off the bridge of this deen, the bridge of Islam, they start to slip off, you as the father, Allah made you the imam to get them back on the bridge. You see that your child is struggling. You start seeing that your child is changing and they're just like, well, I'm Canadian now. I can just kind of be the way I want. Embrace it, but set rules. Embrace it, but set rules. Because remember, culture is not a bad thing. It's okay if she prefers burgers and fries over naan and roti. It's okay. It's not a big deal. Why would you make something like that such a big deal? It's okay if they want to wear some colors and not wear the black or the dark colors all the time. It's okay. Let them have that. Set rules, especially the father. So the first thing is that cultural gap. Number two, the second point. Now this is going to sound pretty weird when I say it. Put away the haram stick. Get out of commando mode. And I'll give you an example. If you see your child comes home one day, and they're on their phone and they're texting and they're just going like a machine. And it's dinner time and they still keep going. Now you as the parent, you say, stop. Now it's family time. That's haram. You don't do that. This is a mistake. Not in what you want to accomplish for that child, but the method that you're going through with that child. If you see your child is doing something wrong, and you walk up to your child and you say, don't do that, that's haram. What you're doing is you're in commando mode now. The moment you see something is wrong, you attack it immediately. That's not good wisdom. Let me tell you how you do this. Let me tell you how, based on how our Sharia and how our deen teaches us to discipline. The first thing you have to do is that if you want your child to appreciate good lessons and good information, it requires effort. Don't just keep yelling, this is haram. Don't just keep telling them you're going to the hellfire if you do that. Sit down with your child. You see, one of the problems that we have as parents today is we become very lazy with our children. We become very lazy with them. It's either because we're busy with our own lives, or we just don't put the effort to spend time and understand what your children are going through. You know, you'll be very surprised, especially if you have children that are going to school right now, whether that's high school or college. You'll be very surprised if you take a moment and sit down, and you don't even have to formalize it. You guys are probably in the car driving somewhere, and you just ask your child, how was school today? What did you study today? You look a little bit down. What's wrong? What's up? What's going on with you? If you show a little bit of concern about your child and what they're feeling and what they're doing, you'll be very shocked to know that they are ready to unload an entire beast on you, an entire ocean of problems. I'm not too sure how many of you have gone into a high school recently, but if you walk into a high school today and somebody like myself, last time I was in high school was like in the early 1800s. And back then, when you go into a high school back then, I remember when I saw someone with a cell phone, I honestly thought that this was like the worst thing ever. My goodness, that person is carrying a phone. That's just for adults only. Phone is not a big deal. Now you become a fitna if you don't have a phone, if that makes any sense. You don't have a phone, akhi, fear Allah, what's wrong with you? That's what happens now. The pressures, the point I'm trying to make is that the pressures that children have today is beyond this world. It's beyond our imagination. Spend time with your children. I'll prove this to you in Quran. You guys all know the answer to this. You remember the advice of Luqman, radiallahu anhu? He told his son, you know, don't commit shirk. Don't associate with Allah. And he told him to pray and to be kind and so on. How did each of his advice begin? He called his son Ya Bunay. Ya Bunay is literally saying, oh my beloved child. And then when he gave the child the command, so he started off very soft, very subtle. He didn't say, oh, you furniture piece of thing in my house, listen to what I have to say. He said, oh, my beautiful young child, my daughter, you look so beautiful today, my daughter. You look so handsome today, my son. You look like a, you know, you look so handsome. You look so good today, mashallah. Come, I want to talk to you. So Luqman, he brings his son and he says, la tushrik billah. And then the verse continues, Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. You guys know this, right? He says to his son, don't commit shirk. And then he explains to his son why. He didn't just pull out a haram stick and said, don't commit shirk. Assalamu alaikum. Didn't leave them with that. He said to him, this is haram, this is wrong, and this is why. You know, I honestly believe even till this day, most children, they don't have this. And like I said, children, I'm going to come to you in a moment and I'm going to tell you how you have to appreciate this kind of discipline, whether it's happening to you or not. But we as parents have to have some effort, spend some time when you try to understand children. Spend some time explaining why things are there. You know, last night in Ottawa, my last lecture was titled, Why Islam? Because children today don't know why they should be Muslim. That's why you have today, believe it or not, if you're not aware of this is a phenomenon that's happening right now in our own Muslim communities. You'll find a child that will grow up and he will memorize Quran and he would be leading you in Taraweeh And inside of his heart, he's doubting Islam completely. He doesn't know why he should be Muslim. I can tell you students that are like this at this very moment, who led us in prayer and then they've left Islam completely. They've memorized the entire Quran and can't understand why they did that. Number three. The third point. Parents, pay attention to the signs that your children are in trouble. Pay attention to the signs that your children are in trouble. What are some of those signs? Those of you who are writing, you can write this down. Those of you who are not, pull out your Bukhari minds right now and memorize. Some of the things to look out for. Isolation from the family. Your child comes home from school. They walk straight upstairs into the room and you don't see them for another 2-3 hours. You start to see this gap, this absence from them. They don't want to mingle with the family as much anymore. Pay attention to the signs. Even Allah Azza wa Jal tells you to do this several times in Quran. You know, this is why we have these rhetorical questions in Quran where Allah Azza wa Jal will say, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ أَفَلَا تَتَفَكَّرُونَ أَفَلَا تَتَذَكَّرُونَ Don't you think? Don't you ponder? Aren't you somebody that's blessed with common sense? Allah is telling you, use your common sense. If you see your child, you know, he picks up, or let's just say your child goes out late at night, 11, 12 o'clock at night, your child leaves the house. Don't be oblivious. Don't put yourself in this superficial world and be like, no, my child is going to pray Qiyamul Layl. Just leave him alone, it's okay. He's not going to pray. And he comes back at 4 a.m. and his eyes are all, you know, bloodshot red. Oh, that was because he was crying all night in front of Allah. Doesn't work. Pay attention to the signs. So what's your first one? This is a real common problem in a lot of Muslim homes, is your child starts to isolate themselves from you. One of the biggest problems why children do this is because of multimedia. It's because of their cell phone. You know, we live in a time of consumerism. It's a time where people, they feel empowered, they feel stronger, they feel better, depending on what kind of device they get. That's why when the next iPhone comes out or the next Samsung comes out, what happens to you? You start to look at the next product and you're like, man, I wish I had that. That's what I want to feel. You somehow feel empowered when you upgrade to another and better gadget. So then the kid goes to the iPhone store, and then when he comes out and he's gone from the iPhone 4 to the iPhone 5, he holds the iPhone, he's like, Alhamdulillah, الذي أحيانا بعد ما أماتنا. Praise be to Allah that Allah has given me life after I was dead. Because he's got the iPhone now. He's gone from 4 to 5 now. So these are the problems. Parents, if you see your children sitting in front of a computer, or they're always on their phone, no, they're not sending out hadith to their friends. No, they're not sitting there writing up an essay or some Islamic topic and trying to post it or create their own blog post about those issues. Know that your friend, that your child is probably speaking to someone and sharing all of their problems to that individual, that person. And that person may be saying to your child, take off that hijab. You look so old. Why do you have to keep praying 5 times a day? Just go in your room and then your parents will think you're praying. So just forget about it. Stay in tune. And know when your children are not around, don't be in the kitchen and just keep calling and calling and calling their name. Get up and get into the room and get your children out. You're in charge. Fathers, Allah made you the imam. Mothers, you're the ones that are in charge. You take control and be there and get those children out from that isolation. The second sign to pay attention to is an extreme shift in their moods. 1 minute they're happy, but the moment they don't get their way, they just flip. They go into some sort of extreme anger. You know, our Sharia divides anger into certain levels. So they just go from that natural state of anger that we all have, And they just jump to an extreme level of anger. They storm out the door. They don't want to listen to you. They start saying things to you that, you know, if you can't ever repeat it in your life. You as a parent, you're hearing your child talk to you. And you're thinking to yourself, where I come from, where I was born, how I grew up, it would literally be life and death to me if I spoke to my parents that way. Why is my child doing this? Pay attention to those mood swings, to those change in their behavior. When they're with you, and you're sitting in the car and you're playing Quran for your child is like, oh, starts to bring up a conversation, wants to distract, doesn't want to listen to the Quran, doesn't want to say they don't want to listen to it, but they start distracting you. They don't want that there. Pay attention to this. Do you see what's happening so far, brothers and sisters? A Muslim has to have some level of common sense and intelligence to be a good parent. You have to understand at least basic fundamentals and logistics of what it takes to be a good parent. The third sign that I want to share with you is the lack of appreciation for family values. You set rules in the house, your child doesn't care. Your child says to you, I'll be home at so-and-so time. I'm finished from school. I'll be home at 4 or 5 o'clock. 7 o'clock, your child hasn't come home yet. You set rules that this is dinner time. I want you to come down and have dinner with us. Your child takes the plate of food, and he walks up to the stairs, and he goes into his room, and he closes the door, and he has dinner in his room. I realize the dilemma that because of our work schedules, we may not always have that opportunity to sit as a family and enjoy a nice meal. All I'm saying to you is when you do have that opportunity, don't let it go. Parents, Allah gave you these skills, or else you wouldn't have been parents. Allah sees something good in you, or else you wouldn't have been parents. Allah gave you these children. We don't have children based on what we do and how we feel. Allah Azza wa Jal decides who shall have children and who shouldn't. So the next point, and this is the last one that I want to share with you from a parental perspective, and that is parents, two words. Be an example. Be an example for your children. You know, your child may come up to you very soon and say to you that I want to go to the graduation or to the prom. And if you say to them no, and your child still goes anyway, then you have to start thinking, did you let your child go to all those dances and the outings from grade 9 till 12? You let your child do all of those little things. Now the grand finale, you stop them, it's not going to work. You let your child wake up every day to dress the way they want to dress. Any desire that they want, you gave it to them. If they wanted the latest gadget, you gave it to them. If they wanted a car, you know they're not responsible, but you still bought it for them. And then you realize that your child is bringing the wrong people in the car, going in the wrong places, using the gadgets for the wrong things. And then you say, no, this is haram, stop it. I don't want you to do it. It's not going to work. You have to set an example for your children. And the example is, if you want your child to pray, you start praying. If you want your child to dress modestly, you start dressing modestly. If you want your child to appreciate family values, then you yourself have to make sure that those family values are encrypted and instilled in that family. Children. Children. Al-awlad. وَمَا أَدْرَاكُمُ الْأَوْلَادِ. Children. There is so much to say about this topic of kids today. And it's not necessarily because they're bad people. Kids are born with good intentions. They're born as good people. They're not furniture that we just move around and we treat them like dirt. They're good people. And I have found, you know, people always say, you know, Brother Musleh, you're so good with the youth. They have no idea that I am far away from the youth in terms of age. I'm a lot older than people think I am. But the reason why I may have had some success with kids is because I try to sympathize and understand what their problems are. It's so complicated today. Peer pressure is so complicated today. Their environment and their problems have become so complex that you as parents, the most complex thing in your life, probably where you grew up, is if you didn't wake up on time to get to the farm or to walk to the school or to do the chores and then get to the rest of your day. That was the most complex thing in your life. Children don't have those things anymore. So for children, now I'm going to address you. Because regardless what I say about the parents and how much problems they may have, the real problems are you. And I'm going to be very frank. The real problems are coming from you, the children, and I'll show you how. One of the first problems that I think the children, you need to get it and you need to understand it, is that parents are here to stay. Your mothers and fathers aren't going anywhere. So that authority that you have in front of you of people telling you, don't do this and don't do that. Children, you have to respect and understand that they are there in the home and they're going to stay there. They're not going anywhere. The second thing is you have to understand when parents tell you, children, when parents tell you don't do these things, it's not because they want to ruin your life. They want good for you. You ask any parent, they're not going to say, yeah, I just told him not to go because I really want to see him depressed. It's not going to happen. They're just going to say, I want my child to be more practicing. I want my child to go to the masjid. I want my child to be in the home and be safe. I don't want them outside lurking in the middle of the night. I want them to be here. They just want good things for you. And you know something, children? One day, Allah Azza wa Jal will make you a parent. And you're going to have your own kids one day. And when you have your own kids, your child may come up to you one day and say, Daddy, I'm going to go to the store and buy milk. Yeah, right. You don't even know what milk is. I'm going to go to just go and go. I really want to help out with groceries. Your child's gone for 3 and 4 hours. But because you have your own children, you're going to be more strict with them because those were the same tricks that you played with your parents. So you're not going to tolerate it from your own kids. You're going to be more strict. Why? Because you want good for your children. You want the same things that your parents wanted for you. Your mother sitting right here. It was life and death for her when she was giving birth to you. Your father is sitting right here. And every single day he has to put his life on the line to work and sustain a good family. Every single day he's battling the weather, the streets, the people, the society, the pressure. He's battling the economy. He's battling wages. He's doing everything just to make ends meet. Why? Because when that child comes up to him and says, Daddy, could I have $5 so that I could go and buy some snacks? The father can be very proud. Said, yes, here, my child. Yes, you can have. They just want good for you. Why is it so difficult for you as children to understand that? Why is it that you don't see that good in your parents anymore? It's like as if parents have become this huge barrier, this huge wall in front of you. That the moment this wall starts to get closer and closer to you, they start to tap into your life, try to figure you out or try to talk to you. You start resisting and pushing this wall further and further and further. But I use wall. You know why I say wall? Because eventually this wall will get closer and closer and closer until you can't push it anymore. The only time that that wall will stop getting closer to you is that if it collapses. And that's when your parents are gone. And that's when your parents are gone and you're going to sit there and you're going to be burying your mother or burying your father. And you're going to sit there and say to yourself, my goodness, how could I have done this to them? My goodness, my father wanted me to come with him, wanted me to spend time with him just so that I could have that fatherly son relationship, and I let it slip right out of my hands. You're the one that's going to end up crying for the rest of your life. That parent is now gone from you. So appreciate the presence of your parents. They're here and they're here to stay. They're not going anywhere. And let me tell you, children, you need this kind of authority over you. You need that kind of discipline over you. The second thing, children, that I want you to understand is, you know, this topic, I must have talked about it 100 times. But this topic can never be exhausted, and this is the last point, inshallah, that I will leave you with. And that is, children, sift out your friends. Sift out your friends from your true friends. Get out those people who you call friends and keep the ones who are your true friends. Now let me tell you what I'm talking about. One of the names of friends in Quran is Sadiqun or Siddiqun. Another name that represents friendship in Quran is Waliyun. Another name is Hamimun. Now Sadiqun, I'll come to that in a moment. Waliyun, it's the kind of friend that's a protective friend over you, always looking out for you. It's the friend that when they see you do something wrong, they kind of stop you and tell you, look, don't do that. They're always looking out for you, trying to make sure that things are okay. But the wali, one thing about that's interesting about this term in terms of how you use it in friendship, that sometimes the wali, that kind of friend can be very judgmental. So if you start to change or you start to fall down, they may not necessarily be there because they're like, this guy is too weak. This guy doesn't have what it takes. And they'll abandon you. Then you have the hamimun kind of friend. The hamimun friend, the word hamimun, it means that intimate, close friend that you share secrets with. You share secrets with. Then you have the sadiq. The sadiq is the kind of friend that we want. The sadiq is a word that you all know. It comes from sidqun. Sidqun means the truth. The sadiq is your true friend. If you fall down, that friend never judges you. If you start wearing your hijab, that friend never judges you. They accept you for who you are. If you stop and you start doing the wrong things in your life, that friend doesn't abandon you and leave you alone. They're always there for you. That's why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he got the title As-Siddiq, or one of the reasons why. He was a true friend to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He believed when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for that Isra and Mi'raj, he said, if he said it, I believe it. Why? Because I'm a true friend to him. That's why everywhere they went, they held hands. Imagine holding hands with your friends today. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. They held hands. Why? That was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's sadiq. It's a true friend. Children, who's your true friend? And I guarantee you, if you start to look at your friends this way, you'll start to sift out most of the people that are around you. It's the friends that are destroying you, kids. It's the friends that's causing you to hate your parents. It's the friends that's causing you to hate your life. It's the friends that's causing you to give up. It's causing you to be the worst of the worst. It's causing you to lose respect for authority, for system, for rules, for everything in your life. You start losing it. Start changing the companions that you have. Do yourself a favor. Because the last message that I want to leave is a general one for all of us here today. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Fussilat, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, verily the ones who believe and they say, قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ, they say that my master, he is the one in charge. He is Allah. That's your first part of your shahada. That's part one. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Then, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. They practice what they believe. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, at the time of your death, He will send down a legion of angels. Have you ever been to a funeral at somebody who was in a hospital or on their deathbed and they freeze and they just look in one direction and it's the moments before they die? Some ulama, they said that that is the time where they start seeing angels coming to them. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبُصِرُونَ. We're closer to you than you think, but you can't see us. And these angels, they come to this person who has died. And they say to him, now the person is so scared. And the angels, they say, لَا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ. Don't be scared. What is he scared about? He's scared because now it's time for him to meet Allah. And they say to him, don't be sad. You know what he's sad? Because he's going to leave his family behind. Now all the family around that bed, their mother, their father has just died in front of their eyes. All the family is there. And they're crying and they're in tears. But they have no idea that that deceased is going through the happiest moment of their life. Because those angels say, congratulations, you've got Jannah. You stood your ground. You obeyed your parents. You looked after your life. You respected authority. You chose good friends. You lived a good life. Congratulations, you've done it. You've gotten Jannah. And then Allah Azza wa Jal continues, and this is the last point that I leave you with. This is my final message to all of you. That Allah Azza wa Jal, when He continues and He says that one of the rewards that we will have are two things in Jannah. وَلَكُمْ فِي مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. You're going to get the thing that you've always desired in this world. Whether it's stability, security, love, compassion, friends, anything. You're going to get that. The doors of Jannah is going to open for you and you're going to have those things. But then Allah says, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. You're going to get the thing that you called for. Children, parents, all your struggles that you're dealing with in your life, there has to be one thing inside of you that's very personal that you want Allah to give you. This is not something that I can tell you. This is not something that I can teach you. You have to figure out what is the one thing that you want to ask Allah. I'll share with you something very personal. When I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if Allah accepts me and forgives me, one of the things I would ask, oh Allah, tell me the secrets of Quran. Oh Allah, you said alif lam mim. You said ha mim. You said yasin. Oh Allah, till this day, scholars don't understand what these letters are talking about. Oh Allah, tell me what they really mean. Oh Allah, you took Surah At-Tawbah, 114 surahs. You took one of them and you didn't put Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim in front of that. Until this day, scholars debate why or why not. They don't understand why that happened. Oh Allah, you tell me, why didn't you put the Basmala there? So you, brothers and sisters, you have to think about the one thing that you want in your life. You want from Allah Azza wa Jal when you meet Him, because we only have one chance to make things right here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve you, O mothers and fathers. May Allah Azza wa Jal give you, mothers and fathers, Jannah. Say, Ameen. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless you and honor you and give you strength and health and courage and stability and understanding and Iman. Parents, Allahumma, Ameen. Parents, may Allah Azza wa Jal bless you and have you live in this world as though it is an introduction to the Jannah in the Akhirah. May Allah Azza wa Jal give that to you. Say, Ameen. Children, may Allah Azza wa Jal preserve you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you. You are the future generation, the future ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal give you strength. We know what you're going through, but at the end of the day, children, we all here as parents want to say to you that we love you. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.